The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots.
We are back, second hour of the National Intel Report. I am your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this Friday, fifth day of February, 2021. Paul in Florida. Let's continue with the calls. I got a lot of information I want to bring forth to the listeners today, but
Paul, hey, John.
Go ahead.
Hey, one of my favorite songs was Steve Oz, man. I love that song. You know, another great song he's got is I Still Believe.
Yep.
That's a fantastic song. I just love it. Anyway, ironically enough, I'm calling you from the heart of this whole thing in Naples with Alfie Oaks, the owner of Seat to Table.
Uh-huh.
That's getting all this attention nationally. I go in there all the time. The guys, that the family is a wonderful family. They've been in Naples for a long time. They started off as a fruit stand in Collier County back in the 80s. He's just a true American patriot. He's built this company up, and he opened this store. It's 60,000 square foot on the corner of Immokalee Road and Airport Road here in North Naples. And I go in there all the time. I've been going in there for about a year. He opened about a year and a half ago. He's a true American patriot. He's a big Trump. There's a whole backstory to this whole thing that a lot of people don't realize. He posted on Facebook about a year and a half ago calling out the COVID thing, and he blasted BLM. And he's got a contract down here with the Collier County and Lee County school system to provide meals for the schools. So what happened was, as soon as he posted this on Facebook questioning COVID and blasting BLM, the Lee County is where Fort Myers is, they canceled his contract for that he had. I think it was a three-year contract. And he sued them. So he's in court right now against Lee County and Collier. I'm not sure where it's going with Collier County, but I know in Lee, he's taking it right to the end because it was just kind of this, under the sunshine law, you know, everything's going to be out in the open.
Right.
So the Lee County School Board came out there and they said, well, we're going to cancel your contract. So he sued them.
Right.
So he'd really be a good guy to... Sorry, go ahead, John.
No, Ed, do me a favor. Since you go in there all the time, go in there and talk to him. Tell him there's a guy that's interested in talking with him. Would he be willing to go on air?
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
I usually pop in every weekend, so I can definitely do that if you want.
Well, I want. Please, I'd like to talk to the guy. And I've got a prediction here. He'll win that lawsuit. This was a contract to perform a service. And as long as he followed his end of the contract and he didn't default on that, they had no reason for canceling that contract, and he'll probably be rewarded for the remainder of that contract. He will be made whole. And if he's got lawyers, he's probably going to be smart enough that his own lawyer is going to make the other side pay the legal fees.
Absolutely. That's exactly what he's going for.
There you go.
And he's got a lot of support here in Collier. He's got the sheriffs are on his side.
Good deal. Man, when you got the cops on your side, yeah, that's a good thing.
Yep. They provide protection for his place when some of these idiots tried to protest last year out there. And he's a good guy. I mean, foreign policy-wise, he is pro-Israel, so just to let you know when you talk to him.
Well, I'm not going to be talking to him about Israelis. I'll be talking to him about his current situation and the cancel culture. I'd like to see this guy up and disappear. So Paul, Paul, do me a favor. Get the guy's information. You have my email, johnstatmiller@hotmail.com. Give me the information. Email it over to me, and I'll get in contact with the guy.
All right, sounds good. 10-4. Hey, I want to make one more quick comment, John. You got a sec?
Sure.
I called in the other night about the Myanmar thing, and I want to emphasize that I didn't advocate that we live under military dictatorship. I was just saying there's a blueprint there for the military to help us.
Yeah.
Take care of, you know what I mean? Take care. I don't want to cause any trouble for your network.
It's not a matter, Paul, of causing any trouble for the network. That's not it at all. And what I'm trying to get away from, and it's still out there percolating and being regurgitated, that somehow that stuff is happening politically and people are being arrested and they're going up in front of tribunals. There is absolutely no indication that that is correct. But I still got people out there pumping that stuff. And Myanmar, I think we sent them three, this has got to be a coinkydink. Before this happened in Myanmar, and they decided they needed a change. What did they get the one in charge with? Wearing the wrong kind of shoes on a Tuesday or something?
Something about having an illegal radio.
Yeah.
That was strange.
Yeah, it was. But we also sent $350 million over to them last week. Where did that money go? It might have been for the coup that you're seeing right now. I'm not a big favor. Let me just make a position point here. I'm not a big favor of military in any scenario. We have the tools that we need right now to defeat these bastards on our own ground using our own documents, and that is the Constitution. If people don't believe in that, well, then what is there? No basis for government. Let's just be all out anarchists, all for one, and more importantly, for me.
Exactly. These clowns, they want like a perpetual revolution, these BLM people, the Bolsheviks. I mean, I've studied that subject for a long time from Europe and from 1890 to 1945. So I know what we're up, Solzhenitsyn, 200 right. years together.
Right. It's the same. Paul, it's the same old thing. People just they just don't recognize when it happens in their own country, in America. This is old as the hills. You conquer by dividing the people. And when you want a certain agenda or a political power, you do what is ever necessary, rob, steal, cheat, lie, just as we've seen in this country. People just don't want to admit that there has been a takeover in this country. Politically, the commies have taken over, or at least their ideology.
Absolutely. It's like almost a Bolshevik committee that's being managed. It's terrible.
It is. But again,
and they look at Donald Trump as like the czar.
Yeah.
Look at what happened to him.
The hell with their narrative. We know who Donald Trump is. We know what he's done. We know what he hasn't done. We know all of that. But again, people were looking for the CEO of the corporation known as United States government, for him to be the new Messiah to walk on the Potomac and cure all the ills and make all the bad guys go away. That ain't going to happen.
Absolutely.
And again, let me reiterate and stress this. For you people agonizing and vacillating out there and, oh my God, we're screwed. You've done nothing. You've made no contacts with other people. You've not banded together to share ideas and strategies. You know what the problem is. You've identified it. You know what it is. You know where it sleeps. Go after it. And don't let up. and don't let up.
Yep. We can't. I'm actually more pumped up than I ever been, even more when Barry Satoro got in there when I called you talking about that.
Wonder how he and Michael are getting along nowadays. Anyway, Paul, I got to let you go. Thank you for
John, I'm going to reach out for Alfie. I'm going to get a hold of you.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much. All right.
Take care, man.
All right. Yeah, there's a lot of people confused about this Judeo-Christian, Israeli, oh, God, the chosen people. Well, you want to talk about supremacy and real racism? There's no room for Jesus or anybody else in their dialectic. If you bought what you're being handed, and what really gets me, are the people that are closest to God, which is the ultimate universal truth, can be duped so damned easily. Rita, Illinois. Hello, Rita. Lovely Rita. Were you ever a meter maid, Rita?
No, I wasn't, but I hear that from everyone all the time. You know,
what's
on your mind? The Beatles song, you know.
What's on your mind?
Well, a couple of things, but, you know, I overheard the other guy with the BLM. That's all paid for by white spazzes. Okay, like Bill Gates, $4.6 million. Jeff Bezos, the other white spaz, the other white spazzes over at Starbucks. It's a joke. Okay, and in the community occupied, I'm in the rural areas, okay? But the next town over, the stakeholders, well, one of the stakeholders is Bill Gates, and he picks up the garbage. He owns a company called Republic Services, and he's also a stakeholder in different areas there. So when he says put the big Black Lives Matter sign up on the biggest building in town, they do it.
Sure.
Because it's all run by the white spaz. Okay, and it's, you know, everybody's in a conundrum. Oh, there's BLM. You know, it's white spaz city. Anyway, the reason I'm calling, and the real reason I'm calling, okay, is you've heard about the GameStop people where the Redditors made millions, but the hedge fund managers lost billions, right?
It's up to $70 billion last count.
Well, and now you know what the new thing is, because I really didn't understand the hedge funds, but now I do. But anyway, and all the news is either on Gab or it's on a thing called Telegram. Everybody migrated, which was the greatest thing of having YouTube and Twitter kick all those people off, because now they're on BitChute and they're on Rumble, Mines, and some other places where you get news again. And so you got to know where to look. And anyway, the new thing is called the silver squeeze. Have you heard of that?
Yes.
Okay, so Monday, I bought a pound of silver. Okay, and then I've been buying more silver. And Monday, there was a big surge. But you look at the price up there, and it says it's $26.95 right now,
mm-hmm,
an ounce.
Mm-hmm.
Go find one. Go find me one for $26.95 an ounce. You're not going to do it. So they're lying. And the thing is, they got all these silver certificates, and they can't pay them off. And I've heard out there.
That's why, Rita, the silver certificates were withdrawn from circulation. The only people that have silver certificates left are collectors.
Okay, so regardless, there's no silver. And even regardless. So if every American bought 4 ounces of silver, mm-hmm, you'd break the bankers. And that's what they're trying to do. And I'm going to silver sites because my neighbor says, well, it's like $26. I said, no, it's not.
Yeah.
You know, because I just bought one. And on the silver sites, everything's out of stock.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got pictures of the silver and will notify you or it's out of stock.
A lot.
And you cannot
Rita, what's going on is a lot of houses have stopped trading because they don't know and they're expecting volatility and they don't know what to do about it. That's the problem with the supply side. They've manipulated the prices of silver for so many years. Rita, please let me finish. They have manipulated the market so badly. And yeah, inflation or devaluation of the dollar has affected everything. The people that have the land that can go mine the silver will not do it because they cannot make a profit off of doing it. Only when the price rises will you see more silver come on the markets. It's there. It's just not being produced and brought to market. The other part of the problem is because of the volatility out there. A lot of the houses that have They got silver in their vaults right now, but they don't know what to quote. By the time they make a quote, the price of the silver might have dropped, and they're in there losing their profit margin. So there's a lot of ambiguity. There's a lot of uncertainty in the markets right now. But if you do not believe for a second that the gold and silver markets have been especially targeted for manipulation to keep it low because the banks know where value is. It's not in their funny money. This is why you see the banks making large purchases of gold and silver. They will do it by the millions and the billions. They understand what real money is, but most of America still to this day does not. But you're going to see
people are buying it, and I can't find any on websites. And
I just told you the reasons, a couple of the good reasons why you can't.
Well, I'm still buying it.
I'm sorry?
And I'm getting $33, $38 an ounce, you know, $5.99.
Ooh. Yeah, you're paying $38 an ounce?
Go find me one for $26.95.
Well, again, Rita, you got to pay attention to market. When there's a scarcity of something, the price has a tendency to go up.
Yeah.
Okay. So?
What? Everybody else out there is hitting the silver market, and if every American bought 4 ounces.
Okay. Rita, I got it. I got it. All righty.
Okay.
I appreciate your call. Thank you. JR in Georgia. Hello, JR.
Good evening, John.
Hello.
Just want to run a couple things by you in regards to try to provide some clarity here in the state of Georgia in the recent Senate vote. It runs parallel with the outcome of the vote in regards to the presidential election. Georgia has 159 counties. 19 counties in this state determined the outcome of the election. You can imagine what they were. The metro Atlanta of Atlanta, Savannah, Augusta, Albany, and Columbus. If any of your listeners have done any analysis or review of past presidential elections, Obama won with 689 counties total in the re-election of 2012. Joe Biden, by some miracle, with 477 counties, accumulated 80 million votes. It's an absolute miracle.
Well, some would call it other than that, JR. It's not a miracle, it's sleight of hand. And by the way, I posted, they finally ferreted out this information about Cobo Hall Voting Center in Detroit. Everybody's now aware of the vans that showed up in the middle of the night when they threw everybody out of there, all the watchers and the people that were supposed to be there to watch the election process. They were disincluded, shoved out of the building. They get middle-of-the-night deliveries, and all of a sudden, Trump, that was up 100,000 votes in Michigan, all of a sudden the votes got flipped, and, well, Joe Biden took Michigan. Yeah, and I'm a Chinese jet pilot.
Well, I'll end this conversation with this statement. I want your opinion in regards to it. I'm a firm believer in an electoral college vote, regardless of president. I do believe it should be applied to even lower levels of candidates. Have you heard or discussed with anyone if this being possibly applied to something in regards to our state U.S. senators? Because under this current voting system, as here in the state of Georgia, as I just discussed earlier, 140 counties' voice was not heard. And this is going to continue to be a perpetual problem as we move forward.
JR, hang on. JR, hang on. I've got a break coming up. Just hang on through the break. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
All right, we are back. JR in Georgia is still there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay. So, yeah, and when you mentioned the blue areas of Georgia, and how many counties did you say?
I believe it's 19.
So all they had to do is go into those 19 counties. They didn't have to go into all the counties of Georgia, just those 19 counties, the most populated, and to rig and fix the vote at those locations. That's all they had to do.
And yes, sir, that's why I am introducing a mindset and a thought of trying to do something on a local level in regards to implementing a electoral college process to avoid the mob rule mentality that we're all in fear of. Because over the course of the past 20 years, I've seen this for myself, being from South Georgia. The economic platform has been destroyed in the rural counties.
Mm-hmm.
Blame it on technology, whatever you want to blame it on. But people are moving. They're moving with their feet because of the economic conditions that they're currently under or were under at one point in time.
Yeah.
And so they're moving to these vast urban areas where they're outnumbered. They may be true conservatives from the rural counties, which may be reflective in the state of Texas, but their vote is getting consumed and overrun in the urban areas. They have a different cultural belief that's not viable in those particular areas.
I understand the political problems that this brings, but there's another problem that nobody is addressing here. And it's one that nobody ever thinks about unless they're involved in it locally in politics or whatever. It's the primaries. Who does the picking as to what candidates are going to be put on a ballot for people to cast a vote? How many constitutionally minded, good, solid people have been precluded from taking part in this political process because they cannot make it by the gangs of the politicos that are choosing the candidates through these primaries? That's another problem that nobody ever looks at, nobody ever talks about.
Well, John, I agree with you 100%. That is exactly one of the subject matters I have talked about and discussed with my neighbors and friends and anyone I can talk to. The primary is where you make the change. That's where you integrate the possibility of change, is in the primary vote. Do not get sucked into believing a certain individual who holds an incumbent office,
that's right,
is necessarily reliable moving forward to uphold and vote for your particular beliefs and principles. Do not be, I've told people this, and John, I don't mean to mean rude, but I would vote for a one-eyed, broke dick dog with three legs to beat an incumbent who I vehemently disagree with.
By the way, his name is Lucky.
Thank you, John, for your time, man. I appreciate it. God bless.
Thank you, JR. Yeah, politically, people don't even have a handle on the political process and how this stuff comes about. You know, every once in a while they'll get something on their radar screen about, oh, you know, redistricting or gerrymandering and all this other stuff. You have got to start looking at the people that run the primaries and the people that are keeping good people, good, solid, constitutional-minded people out of the political process. Go after these people as well. This is all within doable distance of us, folks. You just have to organize a little bit. That's all. You got to get up off your dead asses, quit complaining, and go to work. Come on! You're waiting for a miracle or somebody to lead you to the promised land. We're already here. Dave in Michigan. Hello, Dave.
Good evening, John.
Hi.
Hey, good evening, John.
Hi.
The promised land is right at national-assembly.net. This is the constitutional answer. These guys have studied this stuff for 30 years. And, you know, just like you, and they've put it together, and they have 10 steps to forming an assembly for your state and your county. We have about 22 states that are forming assemblies. Michigan is formed, New York is formed, Florida's formed. There's a couple others that are done, and, oh, Alaska. And these, you know, this is where we meet to discuss. This is where we plan. This is the de jure government. When these scumbags formed this corporation, they vacated the seats of the de jure republic.
That's right.
There is no republic.
No. Hold on, Dave. Let me correct you on that. The republic still stands, just because, as with the vote fraud, that nobody really wanted to take a look at it and go, oh yeah, I guess there was vote fraud. Nothing to see here, just move on. No, the republic still stands. We are the government in this country. We understand what the rule of law is, and we understand the importance and the necessity of this constitution that is supposed to protect the republic, not give it up to their damn democracy. I'll give you another word on the other side of this break. Hang on, Dave.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
It's hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio.
As long as talk radio survives, folks, please support the endeavors of this network. We appreciate your donations. We have T-shirts available. Thank you, Steve Elkins, for making that possible. It's a wonderful T-shirt. Says it all. It's got a nice-looking logo on the front. And, of course, I support republicbroadcasting.org on the back. Donation $100, and we are ordering T-shirts. Steve thought he'd go with a large and extra large. No, we got extra, extra, extra large people out there. So we will make the orders as you make the donations. We'll make sure that each and every one of you get a T-shirt. And that's in support. It says it right on the shirt, folks. I support Republic Broadcasting Network. Be our little billboard. I've seen a billion and one T-shirts out there, but probably none in the genre of truth and what the hell is really going on than republicbroadcasting.org. Dave in Michigan, give me that site again.
National-assembly.net. And you're exactly right. I misspoke a little bit. We the people are the republic. That corporation it's just a bankrupt de facto corporation. They were for profit.
Yep.
They're losing their asses. They do not have constitutional money. They don't follow our constitution. The court is a joke. They're for profit. prisons are for profit. And, you know, once we have 36 states, a quorum, you know, that have assembled, one county and the state, and it doesn't take a whole lot of people, but obviously we need as many as we can get.
Sure.
But, you know, we will put that corporation out of business.
Well,
if
and
they're still around by the time
Dave,
we're done.
Dave, I'm glad you're calling back in, and I'm glad that you didn't take the day off today. but I,
that, hey, I appreciate that.
this what you're saying is very, very important, because the problem I had with the Donald Trump deal is, okay, we're voting for a guy saying the right things. He did some good things while he was president of the United States, but he was still the CEO of the de facto corporation.
Absolutely.
And what did you hear me say about this? I said, here's my problem, that we're going to chase everybody back into the administrative state that doesn't look as scary as
right. Their
new democracy. And
that's
Dave,
that left-right paradigm, right?
Yeah,
that
and
everybody
Dave,
knows.
And Dave, what were we doing before this? Because we were discussing what you're talking about right now, the de facto versus the de jure. What has happened to America? Why is it in so much debt? We had all of that stuff down, and then they rolled in the banking crisis of 2008, and then the COVID crap of 2019, 2020, and on and on we go. They're getting desperate. The globalists are getting desperate because this was their one push. They're all in on this for the Great Reset, and this was their tool to do it. What if they can't pull it off? And there are indicators that they're not going to be able to. So then the question people should be asking themselves is, what are they going to try next? But you know this as well as I do, Dave. If you've been listening to this network or you've been paying attention for a number of years, what were we talking about? We were talking about that difference between de facto and de jure. We were talking about taking back the ability of our grand juries that are now has now been hijacked by the prosecutors. And we're in charge, and this is our gig, and you can go to hell if we don't like what you're saying. No. We were talking about making push and a move to get honest money back in this country. There was a lot of things that were being discussed that were good and honest solutions to the problems that America is facing today. But again, people get waylaid. They get whipsawed. They get afraid. They have the fear. Here we go again.
Very powerful fear is, but I'll tell you what, you nailed it, John. In Michigan, we call ourselves the MGJA, Michigan General Jural Assembly. This is what it's all about, that grand jury. Very powerful. We the people, we are, you know, they say we're the fifth branch, you know, right, of the government, but we're the first branch.
We are.
Because we give them the power, those public servants, if they're, you know, seated properly, and we haven't had those guys for a very, very long time. John, I've been getting on almost every show on your network inviting the listeners to come to our assemblies, and I've only got one woman to show up from Connecticut, of all places. We've never had anybody from Connecticut on the calls as long as I've been involved with these guys.
And Dave, and again, you know, I understand people, and I understand human nature, and I understand all of these dynamics that our emotions cause us. And I'm willing to make certain considerations for that because we're all human, and I get all that. But here again, it is the fear. The fear, and I am so sick of people falling for this. This is, it's not just their only tool, it's their primary tool. And they've got some guns and supposed policy and law that supposedly backs them up. Well, it doesn't. It really doesn't.
You know, John, I've been hearing about all this technology that they got against us and all this stuff. I think most of it's all bullshit. Most of it is
Hey, you should have taken the day off. You can't say that on the air, man.
I'm sorry.
Right.
I won't do it again.
All right. Well,
Thank you, John. Michigan Assembly, National Assembly. Guys, visit us. Check out our websites, michigandejure.org and national-assembly.net. Please, we need We the People to form assembly.
Well, when you're out there Pied Pipering, don't blow sour notes on your flute, okay?
All right.
Thank you.
I won't. Thanks, John.
All right. Pat in Fort Worth. Hello, Pat.
Oh, I think I forgot what I was going to say. I've been learning so much listening to other stuff. All right. I wanted to talk to you about what you think, because you're a football expert, and this is the week. And you've talked about this before, about the Kansas City Chiefs, right?
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah.
And Mahomes, he lives around here, right?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yes, he does.
Okay, so he does. All right.
Okay, he was the most valuable player, right?
Yeah.
Well, okay. There was an article in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram in January of last year, and there's a black author, and he's talking about the outrageous racism in the NFL coaching,
right.
They cut him out of coaching. Okay.
Right.
Well, who makes the team? You know, we could say this. I'm not even a football. I don't even like it. I'd be glad if it's gone. And what? Hey, don't we have a new American League here? They're not going to have any of that taking a knee and crap, okay? But, you know, people got to go, whatever.
Well, and
anyway.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I can't go. Anyway, who makes a team? Is it the guy who's good, or is it the guy who's been doing it for 19 years? He was complaining because, how do you say his name? Bienemy?
Bienemy. He's the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs.
You can tell a reader, not a listener. Okay, yeah. Okay, well, he would like to be a head coach, but really there's not much hope. So you know what? That goes on everywhere. In schools, there's the teacher who can have 25 years of the same experience every year, and then there's the teacher who gets ahead and who stays up. They even at times will give a science teachers who knew that, do what they're doing, and the people like the kids like them and write letters back. Oh, thank you for what you taught me in science. I'm just sailing through college.
Yeah.
Or there's the one that see. So, what makes you important? Your experience. Now, don't start saying I'm talking about you, me, or anybody. I'm not.
No, I wasn't okay. going to. But I'm just baiting. I'm waiting with bated breath
well,
to jump in
don't
here.
Don't try to figure out where I'm going. I just ask you. What makes
I've already formulated the answer, and I did that 2 minutes ago, and I'm waiting for a chance to jump in here.
I must have missed it. What'd you say?
Okay, I didn't say it because you kept talking, and I didn't get a chance to say it.
Okay, well, I have a little more to say, okay.
Okay, I'm running out of time, and I've got an article I've got to get to, Pat. But
It wasn't important. I'll tell somebody else. But I just thought being the week of football.
Have I lost my mind, or has the listeners lost their minds? Pat, please. You brought up a point, and I'm trying to address it, and you're telling me now you got to go talk to somebody else. Okay, go talk to somebody else.
No,
I'm done.
I'm done.
John in California. Hello, John.
Oh, that's, I don't know if I could match her up.
No,
anyway,
but let's just continue with the program. We got somebody that's frustrated here. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Very nice. And looking forward to show it off. Also, thanks for the extra business cards and the bumper stickers.
That's not a problem. John, anything else?
Sorry, John. I turned my volume down. Anyway, thank you very much for that. It looks great.
Okay.
And what you said about the array of what you put out with RBN and the callers, the hosts, they've got an array. You know, they're all different ways they present it, but it all gets a lot of information out in different ways, and I appreciate that. And one thing I got here, I just tell you, I've got this book if people are interested. It's put out by American Free Press. It's called the Citizen's Handbook. And it's got a lot of great information. The primary things in here is the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and important, the rule book for jurors. There's a pocket size. You can carry it around. You want, you know, quick reference, anything, you know, about what it all is, that you can research, and people ask about it. It's great. But as you said, what you guys put out, we have to disseminate it and go with it ourselves. You can't have all the answers. You say, here it is. Now you decide what to do with it. So thank you very much for all that and all the years. I'm done.
All right. I thank you for your call. I appreciate it. You know, and let me back up here a second. Pat in Fort Worth, look, I was willing to address what you were talking about, and you told me you didn't know where I was going with it. Well, yes, I did. I've been doing this for a number of years, and I attempted to answer your question, but you wouldn't allow me. And then you got pissy with me, and, well, you'll go talk to somebody else. Okay, that's fine. You know, that whatever your comfort level is, that's fine. I am not going to play the emotional tampon for people. I'm not going to do that. Nor do I want to be a bully on air. But come on. All right? Come on. Mike, I lost my caller screen. Refresh over there, will you? Gary in Arkansas. Hello, Gary.
Yeah. Sounds like you're having about as bad a time as I am.
Well, actually, it's been an
from down the windpipe. It's not doing very good, so I don't know if I can get through this or not.
Okay.
But the guy, a few calls before, mentioned this corporation. This is what we're dealing with, and this is what I've been talking about, the way I sign my name, etc. For instance, if I were to go into a court of law, the first question I would ask, is this in the corporation, or is this court incorporated? Are you incorporated?
Yeah.
Is your name incorporated? And he has to answer yes to all three of those things, because that's the way it is.
Right.
Well, me, by the way I sign my name, have gone, changed my status, and there are two legal citizenships in this country. There's the U.S. citizen and there's the American national. And I sign my name as an American national. My question to the judge is, do I have a contract with your corporation or any of your three corporations that you represent?
Yeah. There's an assumption, Gary, the administrative state makes. And they do it through your contact and your contracts. You're signing up for Social Security or going and getting a driver's license or paying taxes on a property or taking out a mortgage. You're in the system. And the assumption is made, whatever they want to assume that you are and whatever role you're going to play in this corporation.
The point you're bringing up is, my answer to that is, I have to do that by law of necessity. That is a maxim in law. And if you do it by law of necessity, that means that you're not going along with the program. You're doing it out of trying to survive. It's a survival mechanism, so to speak.
Right.
So the bottom line is, if I had no contract with this court and they're a corporation and I'm not a corporation, I don't think they have legal standing on that. I really don't.
Well, and they've got it rigged, Gary, that you're never supposed to find out that there's really a difference. You know, I have case after case after case. I've read numerous court cases. I mean, the actual stuff that was said in the courtroom by the defense and the prosecution and the judge and the yada yada, and it becomes clear that you cannot walk into any of these administrative courts, they're courts of equity, and talk about a constitution. They will tell you we can't hear that argument, and they're right, because you're in their courts of equity. You're not in a common law court, and most people don't recognize the difference. They think that this is just a government that kind of went afoul and the wrong people have been running it for too many years. Well, yeah, but these are the people that have been compliant and complicit. Complicit in the furtherance of the administrative state. I just posted an article today. Yeah, who's the number one hire in this country? Where are the unemployment numbers? Where are they dropping? Well, because the federal government's hiring more and more and more of them. So we're already taking a bloated system that's the administrative state, and now we're making it even bigger, and now we're going to expect different results.
Well, back in Lincoln's time, that's when all this corporation stuff started.
Yep.
And in order for them to do that without having a constitutional convention and a vote by the people to go to this corporate form of government, they had to leave those people that knew the difference and out.
Yeah.
And that was the second citizenship called an American national.
There you go. All right, Gary, I appreciate it very much. I got one more caller here, but I got to get to this information because this is one of the things, you know, when the problem is when you open up the phones, you got call after call after call and so many different subjects and matters are brought up and you get the idea. It's called talk radio. But I wanted to get this out here, and I don't even know if I'm going to be able to cover it now in 8 minutes, but I'm going to try. It's a general rule that corrupt economies tend to operate on faith and not on fundamentals. And to be clear, it's not so much about naive faith that the system is stable or functional. No, it's more about the masses having faith that the corruption and the instability will never be derailed. Most people are not as stupid as the establishment and central bankers think they are. Almost everyone knows that the system is broken. They just refuse to consider the possibility that the fraud will be disrupted or that it will be allowed to fail. The old mantra, too big to fail, is a lie. Nothing is too big to fail, and that includes the U.S. economy, the dollar, the elaborate kabuki theater that keeps them both afloat. All as it takes is a single moment, an epiphany, that the Ponzi scheme is unsustainable rather than unstoppable. The writer says, I'm reminded specifically about the inflationary crisis Argentina 2001-2002. Argentina's economy was highly dependent on foreign capital inflows in its currency peg to the U.S. dollar, not to mention they were precariously reliant on support of the IMF. The IMF openly validated the government of Argentina and their currency peg model, but foreign capital began to decline, and the peg became unsustainable. Without tangible growth in the manufacturing and a strong middle class, an economy cannot survive for long. A top-down system based on illusionary financial products and creative accounting is doomed to crash eventually. All it took was for the IMF to criticize the policies they initially endorsed and announce that they were removing financial aid. And then all hell broke loose in Argentina, almost overnight. The Argentina peso plunged in value, interest rates spiked, and inflation struck hard. People poured into the streets and civil unrest erupted. The IMF would later admit it made errors in its handling of the Argentina situation, but this was simply spin control designed to protect them from further scrutiny. The IMF avoided most of the blame and has been growing into a monstrous global centralization machine ever since. I think what we're witnessing, the beginning of a similar end of mass faith in fraud in the U.S., the recent Robin Hood short squeeze event, as well as the current decoupling of physical silver prices from the paper electronically traded funds market, have accelerated the timetable. And I went into that earlier. I won't cover that again. Not surprisingly, these moves have forced the establishment to intervene to some extent to essentially stop renegade traders from freely investing. Accusations are flying and deplatforming has ensued. The idea that the system is a functional fraud is gone. The world now knows it's a dysfunctional fraud and collapse cannot be very far behind it. Furthermore, the collusion between the banks, the hedge funds, the big tech is blatantly revealed. These relationships are supposed to remain hidden, but they are obvious to anyone with a financial knowledge and a sense, but they aren't supposed to be wielded in the open. Conspirators aren't supposed to admit to the conspiracy, right? You know, why don't they call it conspiracy? Because if you say it's a conspiracy, well, you know, you get the idea. Some people might say the establishment has been forced to unmask by activists. Maybe, but as I've been warning for many years, when criminals start openly admitting to their crimes, it's probably because they think it's too late for anybody to do anything about it. The point is, bankers and globalists have always had ways of avoiding responsibility for the disasters they engineer. And when the con game breaks, they always have patsies to take the fall. And this sets up a bizarre dynamic in which the money elites that constructed the economy like a time bomb are treated like victims, or heroes, depending on who's writing the narrative, and the people telling the truth about the fraud are treated like villains and criminals. Are activist stock market traders and silver market gorillas to blame for any crisis that erupts in the near future? No, of course not. But they'll be blamed anyhow. That said, propaganda narratives and scapegoats may not be enough to save the bankers this time. They will never allow a major fiscal crash to develop in a vacuum. They need more cover, and they need to have the means to lock down the public to prevent civil unrest or rebellion from spilling over into their backyards. I have long suspected that the COVID pandemic is a useful tool in this regard. As I noted in my article, How Viral Pandemic Benefits the Globalist Agenda, published in January of last year. And I'm quoting in part, even if the pandemic does not kill a large number of people, it still disrupts international travel, it disrupts exports, imports, it disrupts consumer behavior and retail sales, and it disrupts domestic trade. If it does kill a large number of people, and if the Chinese government's response is any indication, it could result in global martial law. With many economies, including the U.S. economy, already in precarious balancing act of a historic debt versus crashing demand and useless central bank repo market intervention, there is little chance that the system can withstand such a tsunami. Now, as we know, medical martial law in the name of public health is being established in most countries regardless of the actual death rate. The insane globalist rantings of the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab have been very revealing. Schwab and other elites have even called the pandemic a perfect opportunity to execute their agenda for the Great Reset. However, the globalists are highly fallible. The mistakes in judgment have been made during the event 2001 pandemic war game on the coronavirus outbreak, conveniently held 2 months before the real thing happened. The elites forecast at least 65 million initial deaths globally from such a virus. Well, we're a year into this pandemic and nowhere near that kind of death rate. In fact, the death rate is so minuscule, 0.26%, that the public is beginning to realize the lockdown mandates are pointless. In the U.S., conservative states are moving on and keeping their economies wide open. Half the population is refusing to take the vaccines, and many members of law enforcement are refusing to implement lockdown policies. I don't think this is what the globalists expected at all. They needed mass fear, and they're getting mass defiance. They're going to need a bigger threat or a bigger virus. And this is why I've been repeatedly warning that the talk of reopenings by Biden and other Democrats is going to be very short-lived. I predicted that Biden will attempt a federal lockdown similar to the level 4 lockdowns used in Europe and Australia. After a couple of months of relative calm, I based this prediction on a COVID mutation narrative being spread right now by the mainstream media and establishment cronies like Anthony Fauci. The globalists must have the legal option of restricting public movement as well as large gatherings. There is more to this story. I wasn't able to get to the last four paragraphs. My apologies. I tried desperately to get this story in here. But the good news is it's on the website, republicbroadcasting.org. The globalists are going to need a bigger virus as economic fraud is exposed. Folks, keep walking and talking. Keep resisting. There's millions of us, and there's millions of dummies. You're not going to bring everybody along, but you may defang and disarm them, so to speak. Thank you for being here today. Back with you Monday with another edition of the National Intel Report.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.